This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so if this title is not going to get you, then I don't know what's going to work. The title of tonight's shiur, I call them, if you can't beat them, join them, right? We live in the age of segulos, and, you know, if you would take a poll, how many people are looking for segulos for money, and how many people are looking for segulos for Yirah Shamayim? I think 99-1, people are looking for segulos for v'hakesef. So let's analyze, let's see what we could come up with. What are considered the top 10 legitimate source-based segulos? When I say source-based, it has to be either from a Chazal or from one of the Gedolei Yisrael. So let's begin with the most well-known segula. I'm sure you're bombarded with emails, WhatsApp messages, that the third day of Parshas B'Shalach, it's a segula to say Parshas Haman. So I'm going to humbly ask a certain ha'ara on that segula, but let's see what Chazal say. The Torah brings down in Siman Aleph that every morning it's good to do the following three things. V'toiv loymar. The first thing it's good to do, it's good to wake up in the morning. But after you do that, it's good to say Parshas Ho'akedah. U'Parshas Haman. V'asaras ha'debrois. Now, it doesn't say you should say it once a week or once a year. It says every single day. Every single day, every day, you should say the parsha of the man. Comes the prisha, and the prisha quotes Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says that kol ha'omer parshas haman b'chol yoim muftach loy shlo yismatu mezaynosav. Anyone who says the parshas haman daily, you could take it to the bank. There's a guarantee that your food. Now, food is a code word. You know, food means your parnasa. You know, when you say I'm going to work to put food on the table, you mean to bring home the dough. When you say to bring home the dough, you don't mean the dough. You mean the money. So, yeah, gentlemen, I know you're excited. The preacher brings to the Yishalmi, and anyone who says the Parshas Haman daily, you have a guarantee that your mezoinos will not be diminished. And you say the Parsha until the end of the Parsha, until Asiras Ha'efa. It's interesting, because Rav Shevel, in his comments on the Rabbeinu Bechaye, says that this Yishalmi does not appear in our extant versions of the Yishalmi. In other words, you could scan the Yishalmi. It don't say nowhere that anyone who says the Parshas Haman daily will have ample mezoinus their whole life. But nevertheless, the Prisha obviously had this gears in the Yishalmi. And the Prisha is saying that anyone who says Parshas Haman daily will have ample parnasa. Furthermore, Rabbeinu Bechaye brings down that there's a Kabbalah in the hands of the Chachamim. There's a tradition that we have that anyone who says Parshas Haman daily is guaranteed he will never be lacking in his parnasa. Very interesting. Now, to me, this is the kasha on the whole Parshas Haman thing. Because it's said that Rav Nachman Mirimanov said that anyone who says Parshas Haman on, what is it, the third day of Parshas B'Shalach, it's a big skula for Parnasa. So I looked around in all the Sorm Rav Nachman Mirimanov. As far as I know, it ain't there. And all I saw is they say over in his name. So to me personally, how could there be a skula to say Parshas Haman on the third day of Parshas B'Shalach when the Yushalmi says you have to say it every day? Imagine if, you know, the Gemara says anyone who says Ashrei every day is muftach lo yishuben olam haba, and then someone comes and says anyone who says Ashrei on the fifth day of Parshas Chukas muftach lo yishuben olam haba. I mean, it's against Yushalmi.
It doesn't say every day.
Oh, you mean it's Shnayim Mikra.
Yes.
So anyway, look, I'm not here to shake the boat. Im kabbalah hi nekabel. If there's such a tradition, then Zolzayin azoy, as they say. But what Chazal tell us is anyone who says Parshas Haman daily will have ample parnasa their whole life. What's the rationale behind this? I'm not here today to tell anybody to say Parshas Haman every day. Halavai, people should come to shul, say brachas, and say psukah de zimra, and start Shmona Esrei with the tzibor. But the Yisoid is like this. Beis Yosef writes, the purpose of Parshas Haman is to dispel the following notion. Most people, 99% of people, all of us think, we wake up in the morning, we go to work, and the reason why we get a paycheck every week, every 2 weeks, or whenever we make a customer, is because we got up in the morning and we worked. And the repercussion, the consequence of going to work is when someone goes to work, they make money. Because I did A, therefore I made B. But what we learn from the Parshas Haman is that we don't make money because we go to work. Contrary to what people think, you don't make money because you go to work. The reason you make money is because God gives you money. Finished. The only thing is, there's a precondition. You have to go through the motions to make it look like you're doing something, so when God sends you a paycheck, it doesn't look like an open miracle. But you're not getting money because you went to work. You're getting money because God's your creator and your father, and He sends you money the same way He feeds the birds. You know, you could walk by a garbage can, and you see a bird pecking at the bag, and he opens up the bag, and he has breakfast, lunch, and supper. So God gave the bird food. That's why God gives you food. He gives food for you, for your family, for your wife, for your children, not because you went to work. Elamai, Hashem doesn't want to make it look like an open miracle. So He says, do me a favor, get up in the morning, go to work. This way, when you bring home the paycheck, it will look like b'derech hateva. That's the mon. That's exactly the mon. That is exactly the mon. Nobody did anything to get the mon. The mon flew down from heaven. Here's, you have a guy, he has a chap. He's going to run to the mon an hour before anybody else, and he's going to chap an extra mon. So he comes home. He has the same as everybody else. Here you have a guy, he's a lazy bones. He comes to, he forgot about the mon, he missed his alarm clock, and at 11 o'clock in the morning he went running, he still got the mon. Everyone got exactly the same amount of mon. It's the same thing with work. So he says, you know, if I work an extra 45 minutes a day, well, I'm making $200 an hour, so I'm going to come home, that's an extra $125 a day, that's an extra chvest, $800 a week, so at the end of the year, I'm going to make more money. You're not going to make more money. You're not going to make more money. At the end of the year, you're going to have the exact same money in the bank account. So why stress yourself and work that little bit extra? You might as well learn something, and you'll make the money anyway. Or somebody says, now you have to know this is a very sensitive subject, because sometimes a person might have to do a little bit extra, but in general, the hashkafa is that riboy hishtadlus einoy moyel meuma. Extra effort to work does not help at all. You will not make. So what do you mean you don't make money? The boss says if I work an extra 5 hours a week, I'm going to make this X amount of money. Yeah, but everybody knows. Some years you have expenses. There's something called roofs. There's something called boilers. There's something called leaks. There's something called cars. And expenses have a way of evening out. So what we learn from the Mon, the Mishnah Berurah writes, based on the Beis Yosef, Ein riboy hishtadlus moyel meuma. Extra hishtadlus does not help at all. And when a person relates to their work as if it's just going through motions, that's the skula for parnasa. The skula for parnasa is, it's coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whatever work you do is only to meet a certain requirement. So whether you say Parshas Haman, if you say it, gevaldik. If you don't say it, you're not required to say it. It's toiv loimar. But what you are required to do is have the perception and have the attitude toward work that it's just a precondition. So the Rav Asher Weiss brings a story with Rav Zusha, the Tzaddik Rav Zusha of Annapolis. So he was sitting together with some of his Hasidim, yeah, and they had nothing to eat. And they were mamish aniyim ve'avyonim. So they said, Rebbe, do us a favor, go get us some money. There's a certain Oysher in town, go speak to him, and tell him that we're suffering. So the Rebbe Rav Zusha goes to the house of this wealthy individual, he touches the doorknob, he doesn't ring the doorbell, he doesn't knock on the door, and he heads home. So the Hasidim said, well, you know, Rebbe, everything okay? So Rebbe Zusha said, what do you mean? I hold that all I need to do is hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is walking to the house of the Oishar. To knock on his door, to ring his doorbell, that's too much. That's too much. Somebody told me, it happens to me, I don't even agree with it. But just, it's an idea. Somebody told me, he asked his Rav, and he has a child in Shidduchim. And he asked Rav, you know, it's very annoying when you have a kid in Shidduchim, because, you know, you have to call this one, you have to call that one, and nobody picks up the phone. And he said, I feel all I need to do is I need to do hishtadlus. Is it hishtadlus to call someone, call a shadchan? And if the shadchan doesn't pick up, do I need to call them back? And the Rav said, and this is beyond my madre, the Rav said, if the shadchan doesn't pick up, you're yoytzei hishtadlus for that day. You don't have to actually talk to the shadchan. You think you're talking to the shadchan will get your kid a shidduch? Hashem will bring the shidduch. You just have to go through the motions. So you made the phone call. So you didn't pick it up? Who cares? Now, I don't think I personally would say that. But I'm just saying, here's a Rav. He's alive today. I probably wouldn't say that. But there's such an idea. That's the idea we're talking about. That hishtadlus in general is just a precondition. But it doesn't actually do anything. Our Rosh Hashiva, Zecher Tzadik LeBracha, would say like this. Work as if everything you do depended on it. And realize that it accomplishes absolutely nothing. Work, whatever you do, whether it's in work or shidduchim, whatever you need to do in life, do it as if everything depended on what you're doing and recognize that what you're doing is absolutely irrelevant. It's a big madriga. That's the first skula. That's the first skula. Skula number two, okay? So that's a tough one. First of all, saying Parshas Aman every day, it's easier to do it once a year, especially, you know, you can't even sleep the night before. If you have your phone on the night before Parshas Aman day, it's like nonstop, there's like radiation coming from the phone. Every 3 seconds, the phone is vibrant. But here's skula number two. Comes the Chassam Sofer. Zemi, you ready for this one? Chassam Sofer skula. Chassam Sofer says on the pasuk, V'lechem, v'koli, v'karmel, lo'yseichlu ad etzem hayom hazeh. Bread, parched grain, toasted grain, don't eat until this very day. Ad haviyachem es karban alekechem. Until you bring the sacrifices of Hashem, chukas olam l'doy roiseichem, an everlasting statute, b'chol moish v'yseichem, in all of your residences. Says the Holy Chassam Sofer, a person, a yid, should train themselves that they don't put a morsel of food in their mouth in the morning until they learn epis apor verter. Until you learn one word, one pasuk, something. Don't eat in the morning until you learn something. If you're makbid, not to eat anything until you learn something, then like this. Bread, don't eat until you bring avodas Hashem. And if you do that, chukas oilam. In your zechus, Hashem will bring parnasa to the whole world. Now, the truth is that it's a beferish gemara and brachas. The last gemara brachas says, "Kol ha'olech mi beis haknesses le beis hamedrash." Anyone who goes from shul to beis medrash, aleim akasav oimer yelchu mechayel achayel. That we are recommended that right after davening we go to the beis medrash. Nowadays we don't have batei knesios and batei medrashos. We do it all together. So the Magen Avraham says it means that lecharchila everyone has to set time for learning every day. And the best time to learn should be right after davening. But if you can't learn right after davening, at the very least, the Magen Avraham says, one pasuk, one halacha, this way you're mekayim, yelchu mechayel ochayu. You're going from tefillah to Torah. But according to the Chassam Sofer, a great school for parnasa is don't eat a morsel of food until you learn epis something. That's number two. Number three, you ready for this one? If I had a shtibel, not that I do, and I needed a city to name it after, you know, Pittsburgh, that's already taken, you know, they have the Pittsburgh Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, you have the Boston Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. I contest the whole Pittsburgh Hasidus, I don't know. Pittsburgh Rebbe, I don't know how long he was in Pittsburgh, I know my grandfather was there for 70 years, I think he could, but I would for sure do Sachachov, you know, I think even though somebody took it already. But I would go for Sachachov. My Elta Zeda was Talmud of the Shem Shmuel. My grandmother stole the Shem Shmuel. She said the Shem Shmuel was shorter. He had a stand on telephone books when he spoke. But the Shem Shmuel's father was Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer was the son-in-law of the Kotzker. The Avnei Nezer writes like this: Mamish Dvarim Niflaim. You ready? Kol Hadachkus. V'hatzorois sheyesh liYisrael b'chol ha'olam rachmano litzlan. All travail, suffering, poverty, illness, aggravation, anxiety, emotional distress, you name it. Everything bad, you know why? Hakol b'shvil shalomdim gemara ka'adam sharoit salisha. And it's because people learn gemara like someone who wants to go to sleep. In other words, how does Avni Nezer say it? Shlufadik. All Jewish trouble comes because the same position that people put themselves in when they nap, that's the position that people put themselves in when they learn gemara. You know, they sit back, they find a comfy position, just in the right position, gemara and nap in the exact same position. Says Avni Nezer, all Jewish suffering comes because people take out lemonade and they kick back and they learn gemara. How do you need to learn gemara? Beratzoin, with desire, behislavos, berishveish, with burning fire. And if you do that, you won't have any problems in your life. For sure not in Parnassa, but I never heard such an unbelievable idea. He says all Jewish difficulty comes from the fact that people learn shlufadik. That's what he says. By the way, the Avni Nezer had the neshama of the Maharal Prague. Avni Nezer was big stuff. That's number three. School for Parnassa. You're going to learn however much you learn. You learn 5 hours a day. You learn 5 seconds a day. Give it your all. Put your energy in it. Do it with hislavos. That will help you. Number four. You ready? So I have this book at home. It's called Pathway of the Prophets. One of my favorite books by Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. So he has in the back of the book, imponderables. One of the imponderables is that if you look in any siddur, how do you spell Hashem's name? Yud, Yud. And he writes that it's sort of inexplicable. Why in the world would Hashem's name be Yud, Yud? Some people, they have initials, Yud, Yud. But why is Hashem's name? What's Yud, Yud? So he brings it from almost Kadmoinim. It means absolutely nothing. It has no meaning. You're allowed to erase it even. It's not Hashem's name. So I couldn't believe it. I found in a Talmud of the Ari what the pshat in the Yud Yud is. But we begin as follows. We know that it's very important to say Ashrei. We say Ashrei how many times a day? Three times a day. The Gemara says in Brachos, anyone who says Ashrei three times a day, he's guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba. Fine. Obviously it means with Kavana. Now we're going to learn a Chiddush. The Ikar Ashrei is the Ashrei by Yuval Tzion and the Ashrei by Mincha. Those are the main Ashreis of the day. Out of the three, most important is Ashrei before Mincha and Ashrei by Yuval Tzion. But, says the Seder Hayoim was written by Rav Moshe Amos. He's the author of Moida Ani Lefanecha. You know that tefillah? Moida Ani Lefanecha. Well, one day we didn't have a minion. We were looking for a 10th guy, so I went. By the way, if anybody wants to help out with our minion, 7 a.m., best minion in town. But one day I had to go to a different shul, and I had a suffix about Berachas HaTorah. So I asked the guy, "Ki b'moitzmi in Berachas HaTorah?" So he took out a siddur, and he said to me, "Moida ani lefanecha melechai v'kayim shechazar to be nishmasi b'chemla." So I knew I think I needed to go to a different address to get the Berachas HaTorah. But Moida Ani, you say when you wake up, right? When you open your eyes in the morning, you say Moida Ani. Who wrote Moida Ani? It's a new tefillah. It was written by the Seder Hayoim. He says, the most important part of Ashrei, of course, is Poseach Es Yodecha. The Rosh Tevois of Poseach Es Yodecha. Pei Aleph Yud is what? 91. What's 91? Yud Kei Vav Kei plus Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65. So now, if you ever look in the Siddurim, they combine the two names of Hashem. Aleph, or like this. Yud, Aleph. Hey, Dalet. Vav, Nun. Hey, Yud. Begins with the Yud, it ends with the Yud. Yud is the first letter of the Hashem Avaya. Yud is the last letter of the Shem Adnos. Yud is the first letter of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud is the last letter of Aleph Da'an Nun Yud. So says the Seder Hayoim, these are the two Yuds of Hashem that are alluded to in Poseach Es Yodecha. Again, Poseach Es Yodecha is 91. 91 are the two names of Hashem. The two names begin with the Yud and end with the Yud. You ready for this? Poseach Es Yodecha. You know what you should think when you say Yodecha? Yudecha, your two yuds. You open up your two yuds. And from the two yuds of Hashem, Yoyred kol hashefa v'chol habracha la'olam. All blessing comes down to the world when you say the words Paseach es yadecha umasbia l'chol chai ratzon. Because when you say yadecha, you should be mechavin to the two yuds. It says a seder hayoim, the hamechavin boy mevarech es ha'alyoinim v'esatachtoinim. You're blessed the upper worlds, the lower worlds. He says two lines down, v'heim ha'ikarim levakish mezoinois uparnas. You want to know, when is the main time in davening to ask Hashem for money? What's money? Customers, clients, no annoyances, easy, the checks, cash, whatever money means to you, whatever it needs. It means money without aggravation. You want to know when you should think this? I didn't know this. I thought when you say, I don't know, Baruch Aleinu. No, Poseach es Yodecha is Iker Bakoshas Parnasa. Oh, so Yossi wants to know, what about the hands? Where do the hands come in? Because you see a lot of Sfardim, they go like this. So we're going to learn about that. Now, first of all, what is this hands business? So there's an interesting tshuva on the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer was he a Sfardi? No. He once recommended somebody as a scholar for Parnaso, and they say, Pasech Zedecha. Now I have to show you how to do the head. Do we have any Sfardim here? Oh, Shlomo, how do you...
I do like this. Ben Ishchai says, don't raise your hand, just open it like this.
Ben Ishchai says, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Tzitz Eliezer recommended that you open your hands and put them erect. You put them straight up. So, says the Tzitz Eliezer, even though we see many Sfardim doing it, I do it myself. I've adopted it. Because when you open your hands, you demonstrate a physical act which is representative of Hashem opening up the gateways of Parnassah. So he says, even though it's Minig Sfardi, and the authentic Minig Ashkenaz is not to do that, but rather to be Mimashmesh, the Yad and Sharosh, Tzitz Eliezer says, I personally do lift up my hands during Pesach Es Yadacha. And he says, here's the deeper reason for that. Ready? He quotes one of the contemporary Sfardic Goinim, named Kiryas Chana David. He says, the reason why you open up your hands when you say Pesach Yadacha is the same thing the Seder Hayom says, that the main time to mevakesh parnasa is when you say Pesach Yadacha. Now, the Gemara tells us that Iker HaTfilah is Beprisas Yadayim. The main tefillah is done by stretching out your hands. Where do we learn this from? Last week's parasha, this week's parasha. He says, the Gemara tells us, based on the Pasuk, Iker habakasha b'zakifas yadayim. Like Avram Avinu says, harimoisi yadi al Hashem. And Unklus translates, arimis yadi b'tzlai. I lift up my hands in prayer. Moshe Rabbeinu says in last week's parsha, when I leave the city, I'm going to elevate my hands. And we have in this week's parsha, v'hoya kasher yorim Moshe es yadai. When Moshe lifted up his hands, what does Targum say? V'havo yadoi prisan b'tzlai ada al shimshah. So therefore, since the main time in davening to ask for parnasa is when people are halfway out the door, it's always going to be like that. You know, you want to know when's the main time to get parnasa? You got to be there for Ashrei Uvol Tzion. By the way, the parnasa, that's when you ask for it. It doesn't come down until the end of davening. So here's a guy, you spend 40 minutes asking, and then Hashem says, hey, where'd you go? Here. You know, so maybe tomorrow you'll be back. So you're asking for a Pesach Yadecha, but it's not Yoyred until Siyam HaTfilah. But anyway, so that's the fourth segula. The fourth segula is... all the Ashrei, so it's like this. The Seder Hayoim says, the Iker Ashrei is... The Yoyser V'Yoyser Tzor L'cham B'Tilo Dovet She'achar Tfilah Mu'umad V'Koyde Mincha. Ashrei V'Lo Tzion and before Mincha. That's the Iker, but by all three. So the fourth segula is, you have to know what the words mean. Poseach es yadecha, God, you open up your hand, umazbia, and you satisfy l'chol chai, to every living thing, ratzoin their desire. That's, if you want money, you got to be up for that part of the davening. Okay? If you don't need anything else, then you'll deal with the other things later. You want money, you want food, you want Carlos and Gabby's, whatever you consider mezoinos. I was in Israel. What was the main question I got? What does Carlos and Gabby's taste like? You know? They want to know, what's Carlos and Gabby? So, that's the ikur of Balkasha Samazainas.
By the way, that pasuk has 7 words and 24 letters. Hashem is with us 24/7.
Very good. You heard it here first. Very good. Okay. Number 5. You ever hear an expression, the Gemara in Bracha says, regarding the terminology and the text of a bracha, the exact wording of a bracha, the language the Gemara uses is, Matbeya shetavu bai chachamim. You ever hear that expression? Matbeya, yeah you did. Matbeya shetavu bai chachamim. Literally, the coin that the chachamim minted. Right? If you want to know, if you don't say melech, if you don't say Hashem, if you don't say Ha'olam, you're mekol ha'meshane mi'matbeya shetavu b'chachamim. I'll tell you, I never knew this either. Why do Chazal liken the terminology and the wording of a bracha to a coin? So the Sefer HaChaim. Sefer HaChaim was written by the brother Maral Prague. He says, very interesting, he says, foolish people place their trust in money. What's money? Something green, a coin, something round, gold, silver. That's where they think their success comes from. But Chazal have formulated that the language of brachas are called a matbeya because the ikur kesef and the ikur success comes from the words of the brachas. Segula number 5 is to say brachas clearly, to say brachas with kavana. You want money? You want food? You know? Doesn't work. Doesn't do anything. You say the bracha loud. You say the bracha clear. You want matbeos. Chazal have likened the words of brachas to a coin to indicate person wants success financially. They should say the words of brachos slowly, carefully, with kavana. That will be a great matbea. Number 6, and this is something we spoke about a number of times, that even though all brachos bring with it a blessing of financial success, there's one particular bracha that we have a havtacha that if somebody makes this bracha properly, with kavana, they will be financially secure their whole life. Says the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch writes, Kach mekubal ani mirabosai. I have a tradition from my rabbeim. How are we doing? We're good? Start over? Okay. Kach mekubal ani mirabosai. I have a tradition from my rabbeim, says the Sefer HaChinuch. Yishmarim kel. Shekol hazohir bebirchas hamozan, anyone who's careful in benching, mizaynoisav mitzuyin lai bekavod kol yamav. His finances will be available in an honorable way his whole life. Now, it's such an easy thing, but it's such a hard thing. The easiest thing is the hardest thing. You know, because you ate something and you got to run. So the easiest way to run is to run through birchas hamozan in, you know, in 60 seconds, you know, spit it out, and you could go do what you need to do. But here we have a haftacha from a rishon from the Sefer HaChinuch, that someone who's careful in Berachas HaMazon will be honorably supported. But more than that, comes the Chida in his commentary to the Zohar. By the way, everyone has regards from the Chida. I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was only at his kever 3 different times when I was in Eretz Yisrael. Somehow, I don't know why it happened, I was at the Chida, the Chida was calling me, you know. One day, Yerushalayim was closed. The only way to get is through Har Menuchos, and then they closed Har Menuchos, and I was stuck. There's nowhere to daven. There was a minyan by the Chida. I didn't even try to go there, but I ended up there 3 times. Chida writes on the Pasuk in Mishlei, Berchas Hashem hi tasher. The blessing of God makes you wealthy. What is the blessing of God? Literally, when God blesses you, you become wealthy. The blessing of God refers to the one bracha that's Dairaisa. What's the one bracha that's Dairaisa? Berchas HaMazon. Berchas Hashem, the blessing of Hashem, Berchas HaMazon, Ta'asher, it makes you wealthy. That's number 6. Number 7, everybody knows. Aser Ta'aser. Aser Ta'aser. Aser b'shvil shetes asher. We know the famous discussion, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So, Rabbi Yochanan says, what's aser to aser? Give ma'aser to become wealthy. You know, logically, it makes no sense. You know, you work.
Is that precious for a day?
I believe so. Shkoyach. Okay, so, you know, logically, how much of it, you know, anyone who has a business, 10% is your profit. You know, you're lucky if you make 10% profit. So what kind of logic is, you have a small room for profit, you're giving away everything? No. This is a Gemara. It's actually the only segula that you're allowed to say, God, are you out there? You're out there? I'm testing you if you're there. I'm telling you I'm making $100,000 a year. I'm giving $10,000 tzedakah. If I make more money, I know you're there. If I don't, I don't know. You're allowed to do that. It's the only segula. You're allowed to do that. Somebody told me, somebody once confided in me. Old man. He lives in a small apartment. He said, if I wanted, I could live in the biggest house in New York. He said he has more money than to buy the biggest house in New York. But that's how he chooses to live. And he says the reason he made so much money is he was makbid gamor, always to give ma'aser. But you should know that there's a major subject in halacha, because the Rambam says one should give a chaymesh, one should give a fifth. There's actually a stira in the Rambam. One place the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah to give a fifth. One place the Rambam writes, one is obligated to give a fifth. This is a very big subject in halacha. Bechlal ma'aser, there are different opinions. Some say it's a minhag, some say it's a drabanan, some say it's more than that. And everyone has to evaluate their own financial status. Some people, they can't give ma'aser. After buying food, clothing, and tuition, there's nothing left. Some people maybe should consider a fifth. Some people who, if one is a muflug, then they should ask, what are my responsibilities? But at the base of the halacha is that someone who is makbid to give tenth of their earnings, they will get it back. They will get it. They're not giving it away. They're pasha not giving it away. That money will come back to them. Number eight. Ready for number eight? This is my favorite one. I don't get something. So you go on these trips. People go to, I don't know, great adventures. Crazy people. I don't know why. People who, it's like suicide for a day. Like, why would you go there? To wait on a line to be shaken up so you could have, you know, concussion syndrome. Whatever, that's your prerogative. But you bring a sandwich. So people take out plastic cups. What in the world are you doing with a plastic cup? What happened to Natil Sidayim? Oh, I have an einfall. I'll put two plastic cups. So what's that going to do? If I give you, let's say I buy a watch from you, and I give you nothing for it, and you say, no, I need more, and then I give you nothing again, and then you say, no, still you have to pay more, and I give you nothing. A plastic cup is not anything, not the first time, not the second time, not the third time. By the way, same thing in Kiddush. If you live in Biafra, let's say in Africa, you have a Kiddush in Africa. So they don't have a kais by the Kiddush. So you take out a plastic cup and you make Kiddush. But United States of America, as far as I know, I'm not familiar with anybody who cannot afford $2 to buy an actual cup for Kiddush. And the same thing with Netil Sidayim. You need to wash your hands with a cup, not a disposable cup. It's at the very best b'di'eved, and possibly it doesn't work. Al Netilas Yadayim is Rashi Tevois Ani. Ani. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Anyone who is mezalza with netilas yadayim, bali de anios. Some say even one time, some say many times. But what do you need that for? So what am I supposed to do? I'm in great adventure. I don't have a cup. So go to the souvenir shop and spend $5.99 and buy a cup. Or have even a better idea. Take one with you. How's that? What a great idea. Take a cup with you. Or eat a hard-boiled egg. But where does a plastic cup from? You know, if you live in China and you're dealing with different viruses and you don't have any money, no problem. Just use a plastic cup. You live in the United States of America, buy a mug. You can get a mug with Elmo on it, whatever you want. Curious George, buy a cup and be yoytze the mitzvah of the Netilas Yadayim, like it says in a book called Shulchan Aruch. You ever hear of that? Before any skulas, you have to follow the halacha. The halacha is you have to wash your hands before you eat bread. Then you have to use a cup.
Yeah. It says you have to have the reveal.
Yeah, yeah. So the question is,
it might. You don't need a cup. The cup is only a vehicle.
So it has to be a kli. You need a kli. So if it's not a kli.
It's not a kli. No. Not the cup.
It's not a kli.
maybe not. If it's disposable, I'm not even lemaise for kiddush, you know. Look, b'di'evet, it's good. That's why I say it. In Biafra, b'di'evet, it's good. But in America, now once we're on the subject, b'chlal at a kiddush, you know you have to make kiddush on wine. You can't make it on alcohol. It's also in Biafra, you can make it on schnapps. In America, you have to make it on wine. Also, it has to be on a revius. So if you want to make it on schnapps, you take out a big cup, you pour the alcohol, and drink, you know. But anyway, this is Netilas Yadayim. Says the Shulchan Aruch. You ready? Tzarach lizar v'netilas yadayim. Kala mezalzel v'netilas yadayim chayiv nidoy. We have to excommunicate you. Ubali de anios v'nekar min oilam. You're jeopardizing your life. But, lita, and the Avujaham brings, al netilas yadayim is Rosh Yatevois ani. On the other hand, we're trying to be positive over here, that the Shulchan Aruch brings down the statement of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, Yosef litol b'shefa, d'amar Rav Chisda, anoy ma'ashoy m'loy chofnei maya, v'yavali m'loy chofnei tivusa. I use a lot of water, and they give me a lot of money. That means like this, the amount of water you use for netilas yadayim affects how much money you make. So you want to use a lot of water. You fill up that cup, don't be, where are you running? You know, guy who fills up this big cup, like 2 ounces. Fill up the whole cup, pour a lot. You want to make $10 a year, you want to be rich. You want to be rich, it takes hard work. Stay there for 20 seconds, fill up the cup, so you can make some money that day. The more water you use, the more money you make. Who says it? Shulchan Aruch. Now, by the way, here's the thing though. That's if you're by yourself. If I'm standing behind you, yeah? Don't make me wait because you want to make more money. You say Parshas Haman on your own time. And you fill up with the bare minima. In other words, if somebody is waiting for you, you have no right to be seeking to make money by using more water for Netilas Yadayim, making the guy behind you wait. But if you have nothing better to do, you're all by yourself, so go ahead, you know, knock yourself out. Take a pail, you know, 40 sah, and then wash your hands. So you'll have, and right after that, invest in something. It will be very good. Okay.
I heard that said also for Negel Vasir, I think I heard it as well. That more water.
I don't know about Negel. This is dafka for bread. This is dafka for bread. Yeah, and by the way, yeah, you're right. The people wash and they pour water on like a tenth of their hand. You have to actually, you know, there's something called hands. God created people with hands. And you have to wash them before you eat bread. So that means you have to make sure the water hits your whole hand. Okay, number 9. Number 9 is the easiest one. Everyone's favorite. The Gemara says in Erevin, Kol she'ein yayin nishpach b'veisoi kamayim. If wine does not spill in your house like water, ein b'chal bracha. There's no blessing. There's a concept that when wine pours, it brings bracha. So the Mesfarim teach us, this refers to specifically Havdalah. Havdalah. There's a big discussion when to pour the wine for Havdalah, meaning when to spill the wine. I don't know, so in my house, we fulfill all the deos of when to spill. We do. There's a lot of spilling. That Baruch Hashem, we take care of all the spilling, you know, before the meal, during the meal, after the meal. But if you want to know the exact right time to spill, the original source of this comes from the Yesh Neuchlin, which is the father of the Shla, who identifies that the wine being poured, in the Gemara in Erevin, refers to the wine of Havdalah. Now, he says, the right time to pour is...
The right time to spill.
Right time to spill, thank you. Is when you pour the Havdalah cup in the first place. In other words, you pour it in the cup, then it overflows, and that's it. That's it. As opposed to the Rama Shita. The Rama is a very interesting Shita. The Rama says, you know when you should pour over the wine? You should pour the wine in middle of making a bracha, not before the bracha. Meaning if you spill it out before the bracha, the kais will be pagum at the time you make the bracha. So you start the bracha, then you spill out during the bracha, so the bracha already started on a kais male, and then you pour out. And the Mishnah Berurah says not to do that. The conclusion of the Mishnah Berurah is, you spill twice. When you fill up the cup, that's what almost everyone... But the Mishnah Berurah says, don't spill out too much. Only a little bit. You know why only a little bit? Because it's Baal Tashchis. Only a little bit.
So why does it say over here that the more you spill out...
That's the Yesh Neuchlin. I'm telling you what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah says you spill out a little bit. So you pour the Havdalah cup, you spill out a little bit. Then you make havdalah, and you drink, and after you drink, you spill out again. I think that's what most people do. They fill up the cup, it overflows, and then they drink, and then after the drink, you spill out again. And then you wash out your eyes. What?
Put out the fire.
Yeah, that's how you put out the fire. Okay, Marv Raboisai, last skula. This is the hardest one.
What is it saying? No grape juice?
Yeah,
I know there is an Indian.
Grape juice is probably, for Havdalah, would be considered wine, according to most Paiskim. For Havdalah, you're allowed to use. Rav Moshe says you can use grape juice for Havdalah. Rav Shlomo Zalman says you have grape juice for Havdalah. Okay, number 10. Here's the thing, a very interesting diak. Who is the richest man in Chumash? No Midrashim, in the Chumash itself, in the Bible, in the Old Testament. What? Who's the richest man in Chumash? How do you know Karach was rich? Where does it say he's rich? What? Who is the richest man in the Chumash? He's the only person who was rich, ma'oid, ma'oid. There are two people who are rich, ma'oid, and one person is rich, ma'oid, ma'oid. Avraham was kaved ma'oid. Yitzchak was ma'oid. Yaakov was rich. Vayifroi tzayish ma'oid ma'oid. He's the richest man in the Chumash. Without any midrashim, maybe Korach had a lot of money and Yosef had a lot of money. But according to the Pshuta, Shemekah Yaakov is the richest guy. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Chiros, a very unknown Rambam. The same way, if you're an employer, you got to treat your employees fairly. You have to pay them on time. You can't withhold their wages. But if you're an employee, you have to treat your employer fairly, which means you can't cut corners, which means you can't be late. You can't leave early. You can't steal rubber bands. You can't make long-distance calls on the boss's cheshbon. You can't take home paper clips. You can't bring home files. You can't take coffee packets. You cannot take anything from the boss. Moreover, says the Rambam, you can't waste time. You can't schmooze. Someone's paying you. Because if you're working for someone, you're not even allowed to bench the fourth bracha of Brachas HaMazon. You say three brachas and you don't say the bracha of Al Yechasreinu. We do Bizman Hazeh. But according to Dina Gemara, you skip it. Now you ask, how long does it take to say that bracha? It takes under 1 minute. So what, you think the boss would care? Doesn't matter. You're a ganiv. You're a ganiv. You're stealing a minute from the boss. You're not allowed to say it. Here's a guy, he takes a lunch break, he's davening mincha, he's like he's davening ne'ilah. Very nice, but you're a robber. You're violating, you're stealing. The boss gave you time, you daven mincha, and you make it back. It's moreover, says the Rambam, if you work with half of your energy, you're a gazlan. If you work with three quarters of your energy, you're a gazlan. If you're working for someone, you need to work b'kol koichai. And this is the only time the Rambam ever calls anyone a tzaddik. Shahare Yaakov had tzaddik Omar ki b'chol koichi avadati asavichen. I worked for your father with all my strength. Oh, says the Rambam, lefikach notal schar zois af b'olam hazeh. Therefore, he was rewarded in this world. Shenemar vayifroi tzoish ma'oid ma'oid. He was very, very wealthy. So you want to make a lot of money? Be very, very honest. If you're very, very honest, it's a segula for a lot of money. Now, should you do any of these segulais? Says the Berheitov, you should not do any of them. Nothing we learned today should be done. Why? Because you're not supposed to serve Hashem al menas lekabel pras. So if you're going to say the Parshas Haman just to make money, shouldn't do it. If you're going to learn before you eat just to make money, don't do it. If you're going to learn Bislavos just to make money, don't do it. If you're going to say Pesach Zedek just to make money, don't do it. You're going to make brachas b'kavana. You're going to bench with kavana. You're going to wash with a lot of water. You're going to spill your wine. You're going to be honest just to make money. You're not supposed to serve Hashem. I'm going to ask the Kabel Pras. But that was back in the day. That was like 200 years ago. In 2020, I heard many times from Victor Miller in our generation, you should do everything for ulterior motives. Otherwise, you're not going to do anything. In our generation, we do serve Hashem Amnas Kalapras. So the upshot is, you should do all of these things, and you should think that if I do these things, I have a better chance to make money. But you should know that there are no guarantees in life. And whatever we do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do it L'Shem Shamayim. And we hope the bracha will come. And if the bracha doesn't come, we know either today or tomorrow, Ribbono Shel Olam should bless all of us. B'Shefa Bracha V'Hatzlacha. Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.